All right. So, last week, Jeremy started our series in the Book of Ruth in chapter 1. And that's where we meet the main characters of our story. And we find out a little bit about their background. So, Naomi is a woman who has moved with her family to Moab during a famine. She's lost her husband, and then she lost both of her sons. She has decided, since the famine is now over, that they will go back to Israel. And after she makes her decision, she releases her two daughters-in-law to go back to their parents' homes. One daughter-in-law takes her up on the offer, and the other, Ruth, declares, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Chapter 2 of the story, where we find ourselves today, is the in-between part. It is the period between the tragedy and the acknowledgement that God is still providing. It is the part where grief is still overwhelming, but God is working quietly in the background, showing kindness to his children. There were rules. Oh, I do apologize. I appear to have a slightly older version of my sermon. I'll do the changes in my head. So Ruth and Naomi arrive in Bethlehem at the beginning of the harvest, and there were rules set down in Leviticus by God about the harvest. We read in Leviticus 19, verses 9 to 10. God says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the very corners of your field, nor are you to gather the gleanings of your harvest. You are not to pick the remnants of your vineyard, nor are you to gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. Instead, you are to leave them for the poor and for the outsider. I am Adonai your God." This is a beautiful law that shows us the very heart of God. He wants us to have enough, and he wants us to use our enough so that others are cared for too. He specifically sets out a law that will provide for the poor and the foreigner. His heart is for those who will struggle. His heart is to make sure that everyone is looked after. So that being the case, let's start looking through the chapter 2 of Ruth. Now, verse 1 of this chapter is a little aside for the audience. It's a clue as to what is coming, and it reads, "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from Elimelech's family, a prominent man of substance, whose name was Boaz." This first mention of Boaz shows us his character. He is a man of substance. This phrase is usually used of warriors, but in this case, it is being used to show us that he is probably wealthy, has social standing, and a good reputation. But this is a little aside for us just to keep in mind as we see how Ruth and Naomi navigate the horrible situation they find themselves in. We're going to move through to verses 2 and 3, and in it we find that God is still working even when we can't see it. "Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go out to the field and glean grain behind anyone in whose eyes I may find favor.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So Ruth went out and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. She just so happened to be in the field of Boaz, who was from Elimelech's family." Now, Jeremy mentioned last week that when the two women arrive in Bethlehem, Naomi, so overcome with her grief, seems not to notice that Ruth is with her. She tells about how she went away full and has come back empty. She has lost her husband and her two sons. She has experienced terrible pain and loss, but she is not actually alone. God has provided a companion for her, and more than that, he has provided a companion who understands her loss. Naomi is very vocal about her grief, and sometimes I think we forget, though, that Ruth is grieving too. Ruth has also lost her husband, and with that, the future she thought was hers. She does not have children to raise or who will look after her. She has also left her family and friends behind in Moab. She made this choice where Naomi didn't, but the loss is still there. Naomi has fallen into bitterness in her grief, but God still provides for her. She can't see Ruth standing with her in her sorrow, neither can she comprehend that God is still doing something very good. But there's no hint of judgment. It is simply a picture of the darkness that we can experience in this life. There are things that happen that can floor us. Things we don't see coming, things we don't understand, and sometimes we can't see a way through. And this is the cost of living in a fallen world. But what is so very beautiful about this story is the way that God provides in the midst of that darkness. As Naomi is crying out that God has dealt harshly with her and taken everything away, as she declares that her life is nothing but bitterness, God is working quietly in the background. Naomi is weighed down by her grief, and understandably so, but she has Ruth. She can't yet see the blessing that Ruth will be, but she is there actively looking after her. Ruth gets up and goes out to the fields to try and find them some food. And this is an indication of just how bad things are for them. They are not just a little bit poor, they are destitute. Ruth goes out knowing that she is a foreigner, she is little more than a beggar, to try and do what she can so they can survive. She's made a promise to God. She's made a promise to Naomi. And she's seeing it through. No matter what, she's doing it. And then we come across a phrase in verse 3, which I love. She just so happened to be in the field of Boaz. She just so happened. There's no big moment or revelation. She just so happened to be in the field of a great man who just so happened to be their relation. God is just quietly working in the background, his plan for this family. Ruth has gone to do her part. She's faithfully trying to get food. They're just trying to survive. But God is directing their paths. I sometimes think and have experienced this, that we get stuck in our hard places. We get overwhelmed and we look to God for a massive moment of clarity. We look for a Paul on the road to Damascus moment where God blinds us with the reality of who he is and then pulls us out of our darkness with a miracle. And when that doesn't happen, sometimes we can fall deeper into our darkness. But here, in the story of Ruth and Naomi, we learn that when we get out and do the simple things that we need to do to survive, God will bless that small action. God will take the ordinary act of finding food, and he will use it to heap blessings upon us. Going to move to verses 4-7, and in it we're reminded that we shouldn't judge people. Soon after Boaz arrived from Bethlehem, he said to the harvesters, "Adonai be with you." And they replied, "May Adonai bless you." Then Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is this?" "She is a Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the region of Moab," the foreman replied. "She asked, 'Please allow me to glean and gather among the barley sheaves behind the harvesters.' So she came and has been working in the field since morning until now, except for a little while in the shelter." In these verses, we meet Boaz and we learn more about Ruth. The first words out of Boaz's mouth are God-focused. "The Lord be with you." And his workers are not surprised. They return the greeting. So far, we know Boaz is a man of standing, probably wealthy and influential. And now we know that he's also God-focused. He knows the people who work for him as well. He recognizes immediately that there is someone new in his field and wants to learn more about her. What the foreman tells Boaz is telling of Ruth's status in this society. She is a Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the region of Moab. Twice in a very short sentence, he mentions she's from Moab. She's a foreigner. She's a heathen from a nasty, horrible place. Now, something we need to know to understand this properly is that Moab versus Israel is quite a lot more than New Zealand versus Australia. Moab is actually a bad place. It is the location of Lot's drunken incest. It is the place where they hired Balaam to curse Israel. Their women are well known for seducing Israelite men with immorality and turning them to idolatry. One of their kings tormented Israel for 18 straight years. They were under God's curse. They were forbidden to be part of God's assembly. And they worshipped their God with child sacrifice. This is not just a place where they don't follow after God. They are actively against his people, and their practices are an abomination and an offence to God. And in the ancient world, and probably the modern world, they had a hard time separating the place from the people. She is a Moabite from Moab. How often do we hold someone's background against them? How often do we paint with a broad brush of prejudice instead of looking at people as God sees them? I think there is a very important lesson here that we all need to work very hard on, because it doesn't matter where someone comes from. Where they come from doesn't determine what they're like now. It doesn't determine what they are worth, for good or for bad. And Boaz knows Ruth's story. In the next few verses, we will read that he has heard of what she has done. He knows that she left her family and her home and her culture. She has declared that she will not only follow Naomi, but she will follow her God. He sees her actions, how she is caring for Naomi, how she's fulfilling her promise. And unlike some of those around him, he's not going to hold her background against her. We need to look at people not in judgment for where they come from, but to see the good in what they're doing. We need to lift people up and support them rather than make assumptions based on irrelevant things like country of origin. Our next point in verses 8 to 18 is that what we do matters. It is where we see the beginning of the blessings of God. Let's read. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen to me, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or even pass on from here, but stay close to my female workers. Keep your eyes on the field that they are harvesting and follow after them. I strongly ordered the young men not to touch you. When you are thirsty, you can go to the jars and drink from the water the young men have drawn." Then she fell upon her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you have noticed me, even though I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her and said, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me. How you left your father and mother in the land of your birth and came to a people you did not know before. May Adonai repay you for what you have done, and may you be fully rewarded by Adonai, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She said, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your maidservant, even though I am not one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here and eat some bread and dip your piece into the wine vinegar." So she sat beside the harvesters, and he held out to her roasted grain. She ate until she was full, and some was still left. When she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his workers, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not humiliate her. Also be sure to pull out some grain for her from the sheaves, and leave them for her to pick up. and do not rebuke her." In this part of the chapter, we have a conversation between Boaz and Ruth. He tells her to stay in his fields close to his workers. He assures her that his men will not harm her and that she can drink with everyone else. Ruth is shocked by his kindness because she is a foreigner. But Boaz has heard her story. He knows what she is like and what she has done. And then he works in the background to make sure that she has more than enough. Boaz is a picture of God's love for us. Boaz is immediately protective of Ruth. He is wealthy and influential, but he still sees everyone in his field and wants them to be cared for. He not only makes sure that she is safe there, he takes it upon himself to make sure she's part of the lunch. He uses an ordinary lunch to heap blessings upon her. She's lost her husband. She's left her home. She has nothing. And yet here she is being treated like one of the family. Boaz doesn't just say, "Be comfortable here," and then leave her to it. He actively ushers her into that place. You know, when Jeremy and I lived in Dunedin, we experienced that famous southern hospitality. People down south are friendly. They are far more likely to say hi to you on the street than anywhere in Auckland. But what I found was that the friendliness often stays on the surface. We were talked to by so many people, but we definitely felt like outsiders. It is really hard to break into friend groups when they've been friends since primary school. It was hard to know where we fit at first. But God was very gracious to us, and he sent along some amazing people who treated us like family from the moment we got there. We had meals together regularly. We even went on family holidays together. And these people stood out because of their kindness, and they made a lasting impact on us. And I pray that in our church, when we welcome people, we'll take notes from Boaz. He didn't see Ruth's foreignness. He saw her need, and he stepped in and showed her kindness. There was nothing he could expect to gain from the relationship because Ruth and Naomi were destitute. But he had been blessed by God, and he was using that to bless others. His kindness was a picture to Ruth of the God of Israel. She could better understand the God she had chosen to serve because of the actions of Boaz. Our actions matter. I think sometimes we like to think that what we do is between us and God. It's private. But we're called to be salt and light to those around us. Boaz was being salt and light. And Ruth's actions mattered too. When she asked why Boaz was being kind to her, he replied, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me." By choosing to follow Naomi out of Moab and by faithfully trying to provide for them, she'd earned a reputation for kindness. And it is that kindness to Naomi that leads to others being kind to her. She didn't do it to gain anything, but God sees her heart and shows her kindness. As a slight side point, do you know that no one in this story is described physically? We have no idea what any of them look like, but we know their character. What we do know is that Ruth worked hard to provide. We know that Boaz had a good reputation and put God first. We know that Boaz and Ruth acted honorably in all that they did. And God blesses them. One other point I want to make in this part of the chapter is that Boaz tells Ruth that she should stay and that she'll be safe, and he ushers her into the meal, includes her. But he also talks to his workers to let her take more than would normally be allowed and to drop some of the good grain for her. He shows her kindness openly, but he also works in the background to make sure that she has more than enough. And this is exactly what God does for Naomi and exactly what he does for us. For Naomi, she is in grief and mourning the loss of her husband and two sons. She feels empty and abandoned. But God has provided Ruth as a companion and someone to take care of her. At times, Naomi can't see it, but Ruth is there to make sure that she is not alone. And God is going to continue to work through Ruth to provide for Naomi. He works quietly into the background to make sure they have enough food. But then, we've all read the story because it was our homework, he moves through and blesses them immensely with a new family. I believe we all have times when we can't see the goodness of God. We all have deep, dark experiences when all we can see is what we have lost. But in those moments, I want to encourage you, God is still there. He is quietly letting you process your pain. And he has put people around you to care for you. He is working in the background to bring about blessing in your life. And we start to see this in verses 19 to 23, the start of something beautiful. Ruth, so she gleaned in the field until evening. When she thrashed what she had gathered, there was about an ephah of barley. She carried it back to town where her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Ruth took some out and gave her what was left after eating her fill. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? May the one who noticed you be blessed." She told her mother-in-law with whom she had been working, and she said, "The name of the man for whom I worked is Boaz." So Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by Adonai, who has not stopped his kindness to the living or to the dead." Then Naomi said to her, "This man is closely related to us. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay close to my workers until they have finished the entire harvest.'" Naomi answered her daughter-in-law Ruth, "It is good, my daughter-in-law, that you go out with his female workers so that you will not be harmed in another field." So she stayed close to Boaz's female workers, gleaning until both the barley harvest and the wheat harvest were completed. Meanwhile, she lived with her mother-in-law. In the depth of her grief, Naomi is overwhelmed. But her first action is to return to the land of her fathers. She returns to the promised land, to her people and to her God. She is unhappy with her life, but she knows God is still there. And in returning, she finds the comfort of a God who is always focused on his people. In these verses, Naomi becomes aware again of the kindness of God. She can finally see that God is looking out for her and blessing her. When Ruth brings out the extra food from lunch, Naomi begins to grasp that this is a tangible expression of the loving kindness of the covenant God towards her. And she immediately praises God and asks blessings for Boaz. Something is awakened in her and she's protective of Ruth, saying, "Stay with his workers so that you don't get harmed in another field." And Ruth gleans in the fields until the end of the harvest, which would have been about 2 months. God is looking out for them, but there's still work to be done. She faithfully goes out every day to ensure that they have enough. And at the end of the chapter, they are still two widows living together and gleaning for food. God is providing, but there is still work. There is still action to be taken. I used to be one of those people who was busy waiting for God to do the work. Jeremy told last week about how we met via online dating. I, like him, had been waiting for God to provide my husband without doing anything about it. And I realized for me that this was not actually faith, but fear. I needed to step out and do something in order for God to direct my path. I remember someone likening faith to walking around being blindfolded. It feels safer to stand still, but you won't achieve anything. If you step forward, then you can be directed to the left or the right in order to know where to go. It says in Isaiah 30:21 that we'll hear a voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it," when we go to the left or the right. But we have to be going somewhere for that to mean anything. For me, I needed to try online dating, which was a deeply uncomfortable experience for me. I needed to be messaging people so that God could say, "Not that one, not that one, not that one, and finally, this one." This one. There are three main characters in this chapter. We have Boaz, Naomi, and Ruth. And there are lessons that we can learn from all of them. Boaz is a man who is following after God. He is God-focused. He is following the law of Leviticus to let the poor and the foreigners glean after the harvesters. He is showing kindness to strangers and giving to the poor. He is the very picture of a godly man, and God has blessed him. In Deuteronomy 24:19, it says that you should leave food for the poor and widows and strangers, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And Boaz has been blessed. If you too find yourself in a place of blessing, then don't forget to use it to provide for others. As a God-focused people, we need to be others-focused as well. It might be food for the food bank. It might be childcare for a struggling family. It might be clothes for people in need. It might be taking someone out to lunch so they don't feel alone. It could be anything that blesses someone and shows them how much God loves them. Naomi is a woman who has suffered terrible loss. She has lived without her husband for 10 years and has now lost her two sons. She is empty and bitter at the way life is going, but she wanders her way back to God's promised land. She is broken, but God is there. God is still providing comfort and making sure she has enough. He is working in the background to bring about new blessings in her life. If you find yourself in an impossibly dark place, hold on. Know that the God of all comfort is still with you. He is providing for you, and he is working in the background to bring about blessings in your life. Ruth is a young woman who has experienced loss, but she chooses to follow God. She leaves behind her old life and steps into something new. It is uncomfortable and at times dangerous, but she puts her new faith into courageous practice. She steps out to provide food. She is kind and honorable in all that she does, and God blesses her. If you are taking new steps of faith and it is uncomfortable, know that God is with you. He will direct you quietly into the right field. He will bring the right people alongside you to help you understand better the God that you have chosen to serve. the worship team could come up. Church, I want to encourage you to step out in faith. Whether it's simply stepping out to get food, or stepping into a new mission, or stepping out to bless others, let us take that step. And as we take that step with God, then we will just so happen to find ourselves in fields of blessing.